Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Jill Robbins, Bruce Albert, Anna Mateo, and Anne Ball. Later, Bob Doty will tell us what's trending today, and John Russell will bring us this week's education report. But first, here is Jill Robbins.
Relations between India and Pakistan worsened in 2016. This worries world leaders. The South Asian neighbors have fought several wars, and each has nuclear weapons. The two countries had better relations a year ago. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi surprised many observers when he went to the wedding of the granddaughter of Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif last December. Many hoped the visit would improve relations that had been tense for months. But in January, Kashmiri militants attacked an Indian airbase in Pathankot, 50 kilometers from the Pakistani border. The attack damaged relations between Pakistan and India. In July, Indian troops shot and killed Burhan Wani, a young Kashmiri separatist leader. People protested his killing for months. Indian troops and protesters fought. Many people, including security forces, died. Pakistan strongly supports those who are fighting for Kashmiri independence from India. Pakistani leaders worked in international meetings to bring attention to reported human rights violations in the area. The Modi administration then protested reported human rights violations by Pakistani security forces in Balochistan province. Indian leaders had never done that before. Tensions worsened further. In September, four gunmen attacked an Indian military base in Uri in Kashmir. 18 Indian soldiers were killed. India blamed the attack on militant groups based in Pakistan. Modi said he would try to isolate Pakistan internationally. The same week, Sharif strongly criticized India in a speech to the United Nations General Assembly. This indigenous uprising of the Kashmiris has been met, as usual, with brutal repression by India's occupation force of over 500,000 soldiers. India reacted sharply to the speech. Foreign Minister Sushma Swaraj suggested that Pakistan is a supporter and exporter of terrorism. Soon, India said it had carried out attacks against militants on the Pakistani side of the Kashmiri border. Pakistan rejected the claim, but it warned that it would consider any such attacks acts of war. Continued fighting along the so-called line of control has killed many people, most of them civilians. The line is unofficially considered the border in Kashmir. Pakistan's army trained near the Indian border. Then, India persuaded some countries not to attend a meeting of nations planned for Islamabad. Pakistan was forced to cancel the meeting. The two countries continue to attack one another, but many observers hope relations will improve in 2017. I'm Jill Robbins.
Imagine sitting in a classroom and not being able to see a picture that your teacher is showing. Imagine driving a car, not knowing that your vision is so bad that driving is dangerous to you and others. For millions of people, that condition is normal.
That is because there are not enough eye doctors, known as optometrists, to diagnose and treat eyesight problems in many poor nations. In some developing countries, there is only one optometrist for every 8 million people. That estimate comes from J. Kevin White. He started the group Global Vision 2020. He also is its executive director. Global Vision 2020 is a charity based in Maryland that is working to bring eye tests and low-cost eyeglasses to people in developing nations. Glasses allow people with bad vision to see normally.
Even if you knew you needed eyeglasses, which most people don't, the opportunity to get help is really, really limited, and even the cost is just cost prohibitive.
A person can expect to pay $100 for an eye test and glasses, White said. That is too much for most people in many developing nations, where many earn $2 a day or less, he said. White has developed a low-cost tool that teachers, nurses, and almost anyone can be trained to use and quickly learn if children or adults need glasses. White demonstrated his system at a coffee shop near Global Vision's office in Easton, Maryland. In less than 5 minutes, he tested the eyesight of a woman who could not see things well a short distance away. He then picked out the correct lenses for her and place them into a frame. She could then see normally. This meant she could see a group of letters about 6 meters away. That is what a person with normal vision is expected to see without glasses.
Some people need glasses because they cannot see things that are close to them, such as a book when they are reading. White says he uses glasses that cost as little as $1. He uses a tool he calls a UC. It is a frame with a dial on each side. Turning the dial changes the focus of the lenses. When the people being tested say their vision has become clear, the UC shows what lenses are needed to correct their vision. The lenses then are placed into a frame, and soon students who had trouble can now see what their teacher wrote, or a driver can read a roadside sign.
According to the World Health Organization, about 285 million people have eyesight problems. About 90% of those with vision problems live in areas where incomes are low, according to the WHO. Of course, it is helpful to be able to see clearly. For example, White said, studies show that people with vision problems drop out of school at higher rates than those with normal vision. He believes many car accidents are caused by people who need but do not have glasses.
Almost everything that we do is affected by our vision. So whether we're driving, your economic output, you know, we kind of live in a visual world.
White noted how many people had vision problems in poor nations, especially in Africa, during his days on active duty with the United States Marines. During that time, he helped provide glasses to people who needed them. After leaving the Marines, White worked to find a low-cost system that would help the many millions of people who do not see well. That search led him to develop UC.
White recently traveled to Mozambique. He is seeking grants that will help pay for a supply of UC lenses and frames that teachers and health officials can use in Mozambique and other countries. During his trip, White said, he gave an eye test to a regional health care official and found he needed glasses. After the official put on his new glasses, he was surprised at what he could see. Wearing the new glasses, the official saw for the first time that under the picture of the country's president, his name is written.
Everyone laughed, White said. They told the health official that all public photos of the president included his name. White said that the first glass frames he produced were not a success because they did not look good. Now he has produced modern-looking, colorful frames. White said people are now excited to wear them. The people wearing them, he said, look good and see well. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Ana Mateo.
Sixteen was an exciting year for science and space exploration. Scientists reported earlier this year that Albert Einstein was right. There really are such things as gravitational waves that move through space. The discovery of a nearby planet has many people wondering if conditions there could be just right to hold life. Two other planets, Jupiter and Mars, also made the news. And what is the possibility that Planet 9 really does exist far out in our solar system? Let's look back on 2016. It took nearly a century, but scientists finally proved Albert Einstein's theory that gravitational waves exist. The waves were predicted as part of Einstein's general theory of relativity. It is the theory of the physical workings of our world and the universe. The idea was that gravitational waves are like ripples in space, caused by some violent and energetic processes, such as two black holes crashing into each other. A group of scientists, including ones from the California Institute of Technology and LIGO Scientific Collaboration confirmed the presence of the waves. What exactly are gravitational waves? Well, imagine throwing a stone into a lake. When the stone hits the water, it creates ripples in the lake. Space-time is like the surface of the water. That means gravitational waves are like the ripples moving out from where the stone lands. In August 2016, scientists reported the discovery of an Earth-like planet just 4.2 light years away from us. In space terms, that is like having a next-door neighbor. The planet is an exoplanet, meaning one outside our solar system. It is orbiting the star that is closest to Earth, outside of our solar system. This makes it the closest planet ever found outside our solar system that could support life as we know it. An international team of astronomers said the exoplanet is orbiting the star Proxima Centauri. Scientists named the planet Proxima B. It is a little larger than Earth. Jupiter is the fifth and largest planet in our solar system. On July 4, 2016, the American Space Agency's Juno spacecraft entered Jupiter's orbit. Scientists want to find out about the planet's beginnings, structure, atmosphere, and magnetosphere. Juno is busy taking pictures and collecting data on Jupiter. Scientists also will study its auroras, the northern and southern lights, and the very strong winds on the planet. The spacecraft was expected to make a total of 37 orbits or trips around Jupiter before the mission ends in 2018. Other scientists continue to work on getting people to the planet Mars. In September, American businessman Elon Musk announced plans to build a colony for up to 1 million people on Mars. He says his company, SpaceX, is building a powerful reusable rocket and spaceship. He wants to get people to the red planet by the early 2020s. NASA, the American Space Agency, has its own program for sending astronauts to Mars. It plans to use its own equipment, some of which is still being developed. NASA officials are hoping to send humans to Mars, the fourth planet from the sun, in the 2030s. Scientists say they have found evidence of a ninth planet in the outer edges of our solar system. Researchers at the California Institute of Technology said this planet travels in a strange, highly elongated orbit in the distant solar system. So far, there have not been any direct observations of the mysterious object. The scientists said it would take this planet 10,000 to 20,000 years just to make one full orbit around the sun. I'm Anne Ball.
This is What's Trending Today. Ruby Ibarra just celebrated a birthday she will never forget. Ruby is a teenager. She lives in the small community of La Jolla in northern Mexico. She turned 15 years old, so her family planned a traditional quinceañera for her. A quinceañera is an important coming-of-age party for girls turning 15. Her family created a Facebook event page for the party. The invitation was listed as public. That means anyone using Facebook could see it. A few weeks before the party, a photographer placed a video to the page. The video showed Ruby's father describing what his daughter's party would be like. Crescendio Ibarra said there would be local musicians, food, prizes, and horse races. He said, "Everyone is cordially invited." By everyone, the Ibarra family later explained he simply meant everyone in nearby towns. But the public invitation quickly went viral. As a result, everyone who saw it thought they were invited. More than 1 million people said on Facebook that they planned to attend the quinceañera. The original video was seen millions of times on YouTube. Mexican music stars and personalities joked about attending the party. Even a Mexican airline company offered low prices on flights to a city near Ruby's hometown. Its advertisements for the offer said, "Are you going to Ruby's party?" The party was held on Monday, December 26th. And while 1 million people did not actually attend, Univision reported that more than 30,000 people showed up to help Ruby celebrate her 15th birthday. Photographers and reporters from around the world were present. The Associated Press described the Mexican teenager as looking a bit overwhelmed by the attention, but resplendent in her dress. Jose Antonio Sosa is an expert on social media at the Ibero-Americana University. He said that Mexico's great interest in Ruby's party showed a desire for lighter, happier stories in the news. And that's what's trending today. I'm Bob Doty.
For VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. Ellie Hinkle, a professor at Seattle Pacific University, says that English learners need to learn to recognize patterns in the English language. These patterns, she says, are actually phrases, terms or expressions that relate to speaking and writing. So, what exactly are these phrases? Here is a real-life example. The author of this story sent an email requesting a time to speak with Hinkle. The email was similar to this one. "Hi, Dr. Hinkle. My name is John Russell, and I work for the Learning English Division of Voice of America. Are you available for an interview sometime in the next 2 weeks? We're looking for advice from education experts, and your input would be greatly appreciated." Hinkle gave examples of important phrases in the email.
"Hi, my name is something and something. I work for VOA. Are you available? We're looking for..." You did not come and say, "Hey, I saw you speak. Give me an interview."
The important pattern-like phrases that she spoke about are the phrases, "Hi, my name is," "I work for," "Are you available?" and "We're looking for." These expressions are considered polite ways, in American English, to introduce yourself or to ask another person for something. These phrases are socially acceptable and grammatically correct. Building a large set of socially acceptable and grammatically correct phrases can make the language learning process easier, says Hinkle. Anna Ulshamo also has studied learning strategies. She advises learners to look for patterns as they learn a language. Shamo calls this strategy finding and applying patterns. Ellie Hinkle says English academic writing, in particular, uses patterns more often than writing in other European languages.
So, French article is not, writing is not formulaic. German is not formulaic. In general, Central and Eastern Europeans don't do formulae. So, it's highly formulaic in practically every way, not just the structure, but also the mode of expression.
Hinkle adds that English academic articles often begin with a statement of purpose and then use common patterns throughout. She gave an example of common and important phrases for introducing a topic and giving a summary in academic writing.
This paper will discuss X, Y, and Z. First, it will consider A, B, and C. Then it will also take a look at blah, blah, blah. And in conclusion, the paper will explain B, C, and Z. So in general, these formulas are something that most learners don't notice.
The important phrases that learners don't often notice include the following. First, it will consider. Then it will take a look at. And, in conclusion, the paper will explain. There are many other common phrases in academic writing. For example, you will often see statements such as, "I claim that," which is a common way to make an assertion, or "one suggestion is that," which is a common phrase for making a recommendation. Future education stories will discuss more common phrases in academic writing. One common problem for English learners is that they often do their writing assignments without a clear goal in mind. For example, Hinkle says, when learners write personal narratives, they may choose their subject with little planning.
So they just simply say, all right, I'm going to write about my memory from childhood. And it was about my greatest grandfather in the world, and I loved him, and he's been long dead.
She adds that English learners can improve their writing by planning what they want to write.
So my first and second and third and fourth tip. Whatever it is that learners are writing, personal memory, scientific article, or a write-up of an interview like this one, follow the pattern. So that requires three things. First, identify similar genre. Second, analyze the stinking thing to death until you can identify this pattern. And then follow the yellow brick road.
In other words, learners should choose stories, identify patterns in the stories, and then use the patterns that they find in their own writing. So, try to find patterns the next time you read a story on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Then try to use the patterns that you find. Remember, you should not copy a paper line by line. Copying a paper is considered plagiarism, and plagiarism is unacceptable in English-speaking academic work. However, you should look for examples of pattern-like phrases in the stories. Then try to include the phrases in your writing or speaking. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.